Let's go into it. So we had those eight album budget items, and yay, they are, excuse me, those ballot items, and they all overwhelmingly passed. Now, again, like I said about the turnout of you voters, it was only a 20% turnout, but it was like 95% approved of it. Now, I have my own theory on that, and that is because we held so many of these statewide forums. If you went to Catholic school, they're fora when they're plural, right? At any rate, so you, so many, I think lawyers thought, okay, I understand this. I'm not going to worry about it. What'll happen will happen. But see, last time in 2011, 10 years ago, there was organized opposition. No, we're not going to do this. We didn't have that this time. So overwhelmingly. So now what happened? Well, you know, after we passed that, I got that thing on March 4th that night at 8 o'clock. They all passed. Yay. So now they go to the Supreme Court. And so then on May 4th, here I have a screen grab there. That's me surrounded by green explaining to the all nine justices there their questions and answers on this, just like I'm doing today. I probably wasn't as unfocused in that as I am today. But anyway, I had a lot of fun. That was a Zoom with Supreme Court. Now, I have to say, they were very, very engaged. That was during the deliberations. It wasn't a hearing. It was a deliberation on whether they should vote. They considered the rules. They were attentive. I will tell them to go back. Justice Lehrman, just almost every justice had a question. Well, what about this? Well, what about that? Can you clarify this? And one of the questions that I think it was Justice Lehrman asked me is, well, you know, that rule of where you reach out, does that apply to new clients? I said, no, it really applies to existing clients. So she said, well, can you do a comment to show that, you know, if somebody walks into your office demonstrating dementia, that's not how this rule applies. This is for somebody that you are already familiar. So we draft about six new clarifications to the comments as a result of that deliberative hearing before the Supreme Court. So we met the very next day on May 5th, the committee did, to address what the Supreme Court asked us to do. And we worked for like 3.5 hours drafting new comments to it. For example, you see on this, it's the comment five is to present an existing client. I drafted an additional comment to that, which does not have a guardian or other legal representative. We also clarified that, look, if you've been appointed by a court, which unlikely in a corporate practice to, you know, be somebody's ad litem, you already have duties under that. That doesn't change your duties. This rule doesn't allow you to reach out because you've been appointed to somebody you already know has mental issues and is in danger of harming themselves by a bad business decision. And nothing modifies other obligations of confidentiality. In other words, how I have explained this rule is, if your client comes in and says, I'm mad at my daughter, and you know he loves his daughter, so I'm going to cut her out of the will. Well, you don't have the right under this rule to call the daughter and say, hey, your crazy daddy's going to cut you out of the will. No. But if your client comes in and clearly you say, well, what are you going to do with that acreage you inherited from your mother? And he goes, I don't know of any acreage. And you know he does. That's when you reach out. And you don't reveal anything more than just to say, let them know you're worried he's in danger of making a bad decision. And he's exhibiting the signs of perhaps dementia. So they said, and one of the other justices asked me on that rule about, can I get a legal opinion? And I said, it should be clear that the person receiving that information, me in a lot of cases, I'm bound by confidentiality. I can't blab what this lawyer at a firm told me about his two clients, and he's wondering about that. So she said, well, can you make that a little tighter? And comment 23, I added this sentence, a lawyer who receives confidential information for the purpose of rendering legal advice to another lawyer or law firm is subject to the same rules of conduct regarding disclosure of confidential information perceived in a confidential relationship. So that was added specifically for the Supreme Court. Another one of the justices asked me, well, what about this rule about the custodian? Because I said, once you're a custodian and you enter an appearance, you're practicing law. And I said, aha, I see you didn't understand that rule. Custodian does not enter appearance. A custodian is there to help the practice cease. Now, it could be that the custodian decides, well, you know, these three cases, I'll be glad to take them over if the client wants me to, and I'll make myself available. Once you do, you're not a custodian anymore. So drafted this comment, 1304, performing the duties of a custodian does not create the client-lawyer relationship. Okay, I know you old attorneys are going, client-lawyer, what about lawyer-client? The modern terminology, don't ask me, is client-lawyer relationship. All right. If a lawyer serving as a custodian assumes representation of a client, the lawyer's role as custodian terminates, and the lawyer's actions are subject to the rules of professional conduct regarding client-lawyer relationship. I think Vince Johnson, who's on the committee, he and I and Lewis drafted this to make sure we address that little thing. Okay, advertising special competence, right? The 702 permits a lawyer, how are we going to describe special competence? What verbs can we use? So we decided we'd add this to make sure it's not just specializes, it focuses or concentrates, you know, anything that you say about your special skills still cannot violate the false or misleading standard, which we're going to